where's Colleen? Oh, right there. Come on up, Colleen. You guys all know Colleen. Yes, you do. I love Colleen.
Thank you.
So, Colleen, one of the things that I like to do is anytime that people here in this body, if they've got a passion, if the Lord has laid something on their hearts to do, part of, I think, City on a Hill, you know, part of what God's called us to do is to empower people to do what the Lord has called them to do in ministry. And I know the heart of ministry that Colleen has. And so Colleen's been talking with me, and she's going to be starting a Bible study. So first of all, why don't you tell us about the Bible study, where it's going to be, time, and all of that.
Okay. Well, it was probably back in the summer God was stirring on my heart as I was seeking him more and more. That, and I've done this before, but that it was time that I was to start again a home group and do a study at my home so it can be a close type of being able to unify in the Lord and grow in the Lord. So that's what I'm doing. I'm starting one, and it's going to be, the first one will be this Thursday from 6:30 to about 8:15. We're going to have a time in prayer and then the Word, and we're going to study. The study that we're doing now is the Holy Spirit in you.
Amen.
And yes, and it's the time that God wants to teach us and show us more and have us step out. Boy, the words were good this morning. To step out in him and speak out. And so it will be Thursday. And what I see what the Lord is showing too is it's a time to where we can grow and learn together in him. Get into the Word, study the Word, and grow together in him. Then to, not only that, to encourage one another, pray for one another, unite in one another, and see what God has and how he's to send us out. So that's what the plan is. And after the time of study, there will always be a time of prayer for whatever prayer needs or whatever things that need to be lifted up and stood together in the Lord to see happen. We're going to see mighty things happen. I'm telling you right out, right now.
Amen.
We will see mighty things happen because the Lord is going to be in the middle of our hearts and study and what we're going to do.
Amen.
So, and it's at my house. If any of you have been over to our groups that we have at the clubhouse, that's the addition I live in over there. It's off of Fort Meigs on Hidden Ridge, 1820 Hidden Ridge. And Donna has sent out the address. And so in any questions, I have a, pardon me? It's every other week. We have our Bible study here on Monday nights. It's the opposite week of that on the Thursdays. So it's for 8 weeks that it's going to go, and then we will stop for summer and then see where God takes us from there and what he would have for us to do from there.
Now, I know because I know Colleen, Bible study, what I love about Bible study, especially when it's someone that loves and is passionate for the Word, and you guys have experienced this when you've come to our Bible study, and you know this is my passion. Understanding the Word of God, there is something about, you know, it's great. I have a pastor. Look, I'm a pastor. I'm giving the Word. But there's something about when you understand, when you receive, this is what Bible studies do. When you're sitting there and you get something that you know the Holy Spirit showed you, not a man, you heard it from the Holy Spirit. That just ignites a fire in us. So that's what's going to be taking place. Now, you also had a picture, a Word picture,
yes,
that you wanted to share with us.
Yes. When Pastor had said he wanted me to come up and share just a little bit about the Bible study, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, give me a Word picture, something that would help them realize the importance of this type of study and the importance of moving in the Holy Spirit. And he did. He gave me a Word picture. Well, last night when I was praying, he expounded on it. And Pastor's been open enough to give me a little leeway here. So first off, the Word picture that the Lord gave me is, I want you to picture right now your heart. I want you to think of your heart. And it's there, and it's beating, and it's beating. And it's giving your body what it needs to flourish. The life blood that is sent from the heart to every part of your body is being, the power of that organ God has given us is beating. Amen. And beating. It's sending the lifeblood to your body so you can do those things that God has called you to do. And he said to step out and do those things he said for Amen. You to do. So now the word pictures is going to go a little further as you see your heart beating and beating. And I got to set this down, so I'm going to talk a little louder. I want you to take your three fingers, and I want you to take it from your thumb, and I want you to move it down to your wrist. I want all of you to press in on your wrist. Do you feel your heart beating and beating and beating? Okay, now I want you to think of what the Lord has done and what he's given us in our temple and in our body, that this heart of ours beats and gives us the strength, the nourishment, and support to do the things our body's supposed to do. Now, I want you to look to your neighbor to your right and to your left. Look at them. Okay. Now, God has given you eyes to see those around you. Now, look behind you and in front of you. God's given you those eyes to see in this temple, to see and do the things he's called you to do. Now, I want you to open and close your hand. That hand. Now, keep feeling that pulse. Don't let that pulse go. Now, open and close your hand. As you feel that pulse beating, your hand gives and receives and does that which God has you do in the natural because of the life flow blood he's given you. Now, I want you to take a step in your place. This morning, you got up and you proceeded to move and to go in the direction that you knew that your mind was telling you to go and do, to come here. Even though you saw this, you still came. God bless you. But anyway, you came and your feet took you where you were supposed to go. Then and you think of the taste buds in your mouth. You ate breakfast, or you didn't, and you're going to be. But those taste buds taste and see and knows that nourishes the heart that's beating, your feeling, and that's beating. And then the food goes down, and it nourishes and strengthens that heart that's supposed to beat and do all those things you're to do. Now, your ears, you're listening to me. You're hearing what I'm saying. That's because the Lord's given you a heart that pumps the blood so that you can hear what the Lord is saying to you. Now, I want you to think in your mind's eye. Now, I want to read some scriptures to you. And these are scriptures that Jesus has said. Now, I've got a pretty small Bible here, and I'm asking him to give me some extra sight here. Okay, it is... John 16, first off, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Amen. All things that the Father has are mine. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, I want you to know, I want you to feel that heart, that beat again, and close your eyes. Just bear with me a minute. Close your eyes. And first off, think about when Jesus came into your heart and the newness of what he did and what he set apart for you to do. He changed you. You're new. You're created in his image. The truth and life of the gospel came to you to open up new things to you. Now, not with your own eyes, but in your spiritual eyes. He said he sent one. He went away. He did all that he needed to do. The Father sent the Son, sent Jesus, to redeem us and set us free. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to draw us into all truth that Jesus has given us. It's the power that he's given us. Now, in your eyes, see what he's not only done for you, see what the Word's been telling you through your life and your walk in the Lord. See what the Spirit has yet for you to do. There is power in the Spirit of God. Now listen in your ears. You've heard the Word of God come to your remembrance when you need it. Remember that he does that, the Holy Spirit. Remember, too, as you walk in the Spirit, it is the heartbeat from the Father that sends the life flow of the blood to the areas that we need to walk forth in. He gives us the power to do that which he sends us to do. Then you not only listen, you know the Father is the source of all truth, your minds and your thought of what is to come. But Jesus has put that heartbeat of the Spirit to send those spiritual things to you. In the Spirit, in the person of the Spirit, we have Father God, we have Jesus, the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit. There is power. The person in the Godhead that teaches us all truth. He shows us how to walk in the Spirit. We talked about today, the Word was so good, and things that came forth, God was preparing. He shows us how to worship in the Spirit. He shows us how to pray in the Spirit, how to intercede in our lives and others. He teaches us how to sing in the Spirit. He shows us his great power. He brings the Word to our remembrance in time of need. All of a sudden, you have need of it, and it's there. He reveals the heart and the mind of Jesus. He gives his gifts of the Spirit. Wonderful gifts that are ours to take. They're there. They're in that heartbeat. The beat that you feel, the beat that you hear, he's in that heartbeat. They're yours to take and use. It's the power for ministry, for healing, for outreach, for witnessing. He shows us and gives us the ability to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. He shows us things that our natural eyes could never see, nor will the world see, except that you show them or you speak to them. He helps us take those things to the world. He can put us in situations and places that we never would have thought to go. Think of Philip. Stop a minute and think of Philip. The Holy Spirit took him to someone in a desert place to speak the truth of Christ to that one person. God speaks to our hearts to take us to places, to lift your feet and walk places others might not have gone, or those that came before, so that you might fulfill the word and the life that's to go forth. There is power in witnessing, power to be free, free of bondages. You need to tell those that need to hear. They can be set free. They can be healed. They can know life, the life blood of the Father, of Jesus, of the Spirit, to send out to those that are in need. Of love to do and go and to do far above anything we could think or ask. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the other thing is, think about this week, the world talked about a rocket that was being sent up into space that was more powerful than any that could ever have been in the world before. We have something that's more powerful than any of that. The Holy Spirit in you. The power of Christ to the world. We need to see the power sent out to the world. They need to hear. This is the time. They need to hear. You are not lacking anything.
Thank you, Jesus.
Not one thing. You have the Word of God in you. If it's one word,
thank you, Jesus.
You have the Word of God in you. If you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus
thank
first.
You, Jesus.
Then Jesus said, there's another scripture. And if I can read through this. that he has given us, and it is in 20, it is in John 20. Peace to you, Jesus said to the disciples. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Receive the Holy Spirit. We are lacking nothing.
Thank you, Jesus.
The power that is more powerful than anything this world could know. The power that made and set this world in motion. The power that created you and formed you in the smallest of cells in your mother's womb to have you grow and learn and to give you gifts and things that he had planned for you, a future and a hope and a call. Now is the time to step out and be the one to carry the truth forward. And that's why the Lord has put on my heart to know that which is in you. Get into the word, pray, stand forth and say, Lord, here I am. Use me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in our hearts. You are welcome in our family, in our way. Look, when I said to look to the right, to the left, look and see those around you. Look at the directions God's giving you. Be that one to walk in the path that he has called you to walk. And this is just a word I know that the Lord has given right now for us to hear as a body, as a city on a hill, to see. God spoke this very strongly to me in Israel. And after he's spoken it to me, and he said, Colleen, what are you waiting for? Go forth and do it. Do that which I've called you to do. So this is just a word that I felt that the Lord had put on my heart to speak to all of you. And I'm so glad you're here today.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you and praise you that you just speak through, as we know you do. You speak through every Bible study that they have. We thank you for it in advance. In your name, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You have to excuse me while I read just for just a second. Well, apparently I'm not going to be able to readjust. If you get a lot of popping peas, I apologize. So you guys ready for the word? All right. So last week we saw that James and John, they had asked Jesus if they should call down fire from heaven to destroy the Samaritans because the Samaritans had not welcomed Jesus. They didn't receive Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. And we saw that Jesus, remember, we saw that Jesus rebuked the two of them, and Jesus rebuked them because he said they had the wrong spirit. And they did have the wrong spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come into this world. But the disciples, all those disciples, they understood a couple of things that it's good for us to remember. They knew and understood that they understood the power that Jesus had entrusted to them. And they also knew and understood that Jesus expected them to operate in that power on a daily basis. Well, today we are his disciples. We do have the Holy Spirit. We have the right spirit. So we can know the heart of Jesus that the disciples could not know. We can know the unlimited, surpassing greatness of his power. We can know that power that is to work through us. We can know those things the disciples couldn't know. But the disciples knew something that we sometimes forget. And the important thing that they knew that we sometimes forget is that we are expected to operate in his power every single day. We saw last week, by the Holy Spirit, his power penetrates through this flesh into our spirits. And through this union of his spirit and our spirit, through that union, his power works through us to achieve his will, his goal, his purposes, and his results. We are to speak his word, and we're to speak his word with power. That ties into everything that's been said so far this morning. We are to speak his word with power, because Jesus has already established every victory that we need. He's already established. Everything he's already established, all of his victories established in the spiritual realm. Those things are manifested here in the natural realm by our speaking them. Our speaking those things brings them from the spiritual realm reality so that they manifest here in the natural realm and displace those natural realm realities which are contrary to his word. This is who we are in Jesus. We are to be his messengers. With the power and the authority of Jesus Christ that we have, we are to be, think about this, we are to be his force carriers into this world. It's the power of Jesus and all those things. We are to carry, be his force carriers into this world. I told you guys last week, this is one of my favorite verses. It's Ephesians 3:20. It speaks to this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now I'm going to talk to you guys about particle physics. It's only going to take a few minutes. And when I say physics, let alone particle physics, please don't let your eyes glaze over. This is going to be a simple concept, okay? We can all understand this. But it's poignant and it's powerful. So in particle physics, there are actually things called force carriers, force messengers, or force carriers in particle physics. So particles are the smallest element of matter. Upon particles, everything else that is built upon particles. It's the smallest element that there is. Now, messages are sent between particles by messengers, which are called force carriers. So, for example, there's a lot of different forces. Gravity is a force. But the force I want to talk about today is electromagnetism. And we're going to use magnets again as an example of electromagnetism. So the messengers or the force carriers in electromagnetism are called photons. Now, if you remember a few weeks ago, we were looking at magnets. And one of the things that we saw about how magnets interact, if you have a magnet that, for example, let's say this is a positive terminal. This is a positive end. And this is a negative end. What happens? If you've got a positive and a negative, you can see the force. It's just drawn right to it. So what's happening there? It is the photons, the messengers, the force carriers. Those force carriers are actually drawing those two different magnets together. Now we saw the converse of this as well. So if you have, let's say this is positive and this is positive, then you get a different response. Now you can't push them together. I can't see what's happening, but I can feel the force that's there. You can't put those things together. So here's the question. What is it about these two separate magnets? These are individual two separate magnets. How can these two separate individual things, how can they know? How can this magnet know what the terminal or the pole is on this magnet? How can they know that? How can they know what's happening in space you can see between the two of them? Well, magnets interact through messengers. In electromagnetism, it's called photons. And those force messengers, they carry messages from one magnet to the other. Now, here's the thing. Those messages are sent. They're carried with a force. In electromagnetism, you can't see the photons. You can see the space between. You can't see the photons, but you can see the message that's being sent. And you can see the message is being sent with force. You can see that force either by the repulsion of the two or by them drawing together. But listen, you and I, we are the force carriers for Jesus Christ to this world. We are the ones, we take, we carry the message of the Word of God to the world. We carry the power of the Word of God to the world. We do that by speaking the Word of God. We are to be His messengers and His force carriers, taking the power. Again, it's everything that's been spoken this morning. It's taking His power. We're the force carriers, taking His power. I've told you guys many times what my favorite verses are. I'm not sure this is Donna's favorite verse, but it's got to be one of her favorites because I hear her mention this verse a lot. but it speaks to what we're talking about today. So this is Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 2. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat his fruit. Speak the word of God. Be a force carrier for Jesus. Be a force carrier with supernatural results that take place. Now, Jesus speaks to us about these supernatural results that work through us in his power. He speaks to us about this in Mark chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 23 and 24. This is Jesus. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, the disciples understood. They understood the power. They understood the power that Jesus had entrusted to them. But the disciples didn't have the Spirit. They didn't have his Spirit. They had a wrong spirit. They didn't have the right spirit. Why? Because Jesus had not yet been glorified, so the Holy Spirit had not yet come. But here's the thing. We have his Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. That means that we have his faith to believe. We have his faith. That's exactly what it says in Galatians when it's talking about that. It says, read it in King James, one of the fruits of the Spirit is faith. We have the faith to believe. We have his faith. We have the faith to believe. And so, since we believe, we are to speak his word, to speak his truth. We believe, so we speak. Listen to this. Paul speaks this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, we have that same spirit. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us. Since we have that same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We are to be the messengers. We are to be the force carriers. Paul here, when he's speaking that in 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking about the psalmist from Psalm 116, verse number 10. And that psalmist said, I believe, therefore I speak. We have the Holy Spirit. We know the total victories that we walk in Jesus. And we know that we are to operate in his power by speaking his word. And speaking his word with power. This is what's expected from you and I. Now, James and John, they understood that they were to operate in the power of Jesus. That's why they said, should we call down fire from heaven? They understood that they were to operate in the power of Jesus. But because they had a wrong spirit, because they were operating in that wrong spirit, they were ready to call down fire from heaven to consume the Samaritans because the Samaritans didn't receive Jesus. They were ready to call down fire to destroy the Samaritans just as Elijah had done to the Samaritans in the book of 2 Kings. So I'm going to tell you an overview of that story, but I want us to look at just the first couple of verses of that account from the Bible. So we're going to look at 2 Kings, just the first two chapters of chapter 1. 2 Kings 1, I'm sorry, we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. So 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Now Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers, and he said to them, go, inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury. So King Ahab, we all know that name. King Ahab, the Bible says, was the worst king, the most evil king that there was. King Ahab, the king of Israel, is dead. This is his son, Ahaziah. Now, Ahaziah, because of the injuries he sustained, Ahaziah wants to find out. He wants to learn, is he going to live or die as a result of these injuries? So Ahaziah sends his messengers to inquire of this, of Baal-zebub. Now God, the Lord, he sends his man, Elijah, to intercept those messengers sent by the king. And Elijah turns those messengers around and sends them right back to the king with this message. Because Ahaziah did not seek the Lord, but instead sought the God of Ekron, Ahaziah will die and not live. Now, when this message came back to King Ahaziah, obviously troubled by this, Ahaziah starts to ask his messengers, well, where did this message come from? And as they are describing the messenger, Ahaziah recognizes this is Elijah. There's some history between Elijah and Ahaziah's family. Both his dad, Ahab, and his mom, Jezebel, didn't have good endings with their confrontations with Elijah. So here's Ahaziah, and when he realizes that this is Elijah, because he is his father's son, and not fully appreciating the power of God, Ahaziah decides it's going to be a wise thing to send a captain with 50 men to go and to seize Elijah. So this captain arrives at the mountain, probably Mount Carmel, where Elijah is. And this captain is mocking the man of God, Elijah. And derisively he calls him man of God. And then he commands Elijah to come down from the mountain and go with him back to Samaria and to the king. Elijah responds to this mockery by saying, if I am the man of God, then let fire fall from heaven to consume you and your 50 men. And that is exactly what happens. Now, Ahaziah, because he's also the son of his mother, decides it'd be a good idea to send a second captain with 50 more men to seize Elijah. And he gets the same result. So now he sends a third captain with 50 men to seize Elijah. But this captain, smarter, lessons learned. And so he speaks with respect to Elijah, I bet. And he speaks respectfully about the power of God. And this man says, he asks that his life and the life of his men would be seen as precious in the sight of Elijah. And then God, the Lord, says to Elijah, go down from the mountain, go with this man, go with him to the king. And when you're with the king, pronounce my word to the king, which is exactly what Elijah did. Elijah was a force carrier for God. And his message went with power. You can see that by calling down fire from heaven. But if you have any doubts, the word itself makes it clear. Elijah was a force carrier. His message went with power. He went back and he spoke to the king. Look at this in verse 17. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse number 17. So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. Elijah acted as a force carrier for God, and his message went with power. Elijah speaking the word of God was paramount. Think about this. Elijah had to speak the word of God. Elijah speaking the word of God was paramount to the power of God working. Now, we also remember there's another time that we all know of when Elijah spoke down fire from heaven, right? If you go back another book, you don't have to go there, but in 1 Kings chapter 18, we all know the story about Elijah calling down fire on Mount Carmel when he had his showdown with the false prophets, right? So it's the same kind of situation where he's calling down fire from heaven. But I want you to see something about this. If you go back and you read that story, you're going to find out that the fire, that power, that fire from heaven, it didn't fall all across. When he called down fire on Mount Carmel, it didn't fall all across Mount Carmel. It fell in one place and in one place only. It fell upon the altar that Elijah had rebuilt. Now, if we could take some time, I don't have time today, but there's also, he rebuilt it with stones. This is speaking about you and I. Some powerful things here. But the fire fell in only one place. It fell on the altar that Elijah had rebuilt, and the very altar where Elijah had laid his offering to God. So the fire fell in one place and one place only. Today, the fire of the Holy Spirit falls in one place and in one place only, and through only one place. It is on and through the believer who has accepted the sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ and has made his heart, an altar to Jesus. We are to be his messengers. We are to be every day, the disciples understood this, we are to be every day his force carriers. We are to be speaking his word with his power to see his results taking place. Now, King Ahaziah, remember, he sent his messengers. He sent out his messengers, who Elijah had intercepted, and who Elijah turned around and sent them right back to the king with the word of God. He sent them back to the king with the word of God. Now, those messengers disobeyed the king. Think about this. They disobeyed by returning without completing the mission that the king had commanded them to do. They disobeyed the king. They put their lives in peril by doing that. But that shows us something. Those men, they obeyed the word from the man of God instead of obeying the word of their king. The word of God was supreme. And everything that Elijah said, everything Elijah spoke, came to pass. The word of God is supreme over the word that the world gives you on a daily basis. Thank you, Jesus. The messages that the world sends to you, those messages, they seem to hold power, right? They seem that way because when the messages the world sends to you, the messages where your body says you're sick, the message where your bank account says you're poor, the message that says your employer's telling you that your job and your future is in peril, the message that says your kids are involved in drugs, all of those messages appear to hold power in our lives. But they're all turned around. Those messages are turned around by the word of God. It's the same thing that Elijah did. Elijah turned those messengers around and sent them back. If the messages that the world is sending you are contrary to the promises that are in the word of God, if the messages the world sends are contrary to this, then you speak the word of God. And you send those lies right back to their sender, where they came from. We are to be his force carriers. We're to be the messengers of his word. We're to be the ones that bring his word, speak his word, and bring his word. Be the force messengers of Jesus. The word always stands victorious. So let's go back now to James and John. In Luke chapter 9. I want to read you a couple of verses in Luke chapter 9. We touched on some of these verses last week. But in verses 51 and 52, listen to this. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him, speaking about Jesus, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers. Man, we keep seeing messengers. And sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. Jesus had set his face to complete the work so that he could be received up in victory to the Father. Now that phrase that we see, set his face, that phrase, and I want you to remember this, it's going to make sense in a few moments. That phrase literally means this in the Greek. It means prophetic determination. Prophetic determination. It also means to shift in power. Prophetic determination and shift in power. Jesus had set his face to complete the work that had been spoken about him prophetically all through the Old Testament. He was determined to complete the work that was spoken about him prophetically. So Jesus set his face on the work. He set his face on the work. And then he sent his messengers by his face. He sends his messengers in front of his face. Jesus is setting the example for you and I today as his force carriers. We are to move in his prophetic determination with power and with action. We are to move with prophetic determination, with action, results in power. So what is prophetic determination in power and in action? What is that? Well, that's fascinating too, because prophetic determination implies this. This is what you're called to do, to move in prophetic determination, in his prophetic determination. Prophetic determination implies the word of God spoken. Prophetic determination is the word of God that is spoken. Now, with that thought in your minds, think about this verse. I'm going to read this verse to you in a version that you're probably not very familiar with, but I want you to see the way it spells this out. But the verse is going to still sound familiar, so think about it in a whole new way. With that understanding, we are to be moving in his prophetic determination with action. That means his word spoken. We're to speak his word. So with that in mind, this is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. I want you to see this from the Expanded Bible, all right? Anybody ever read the Expanded Bible? Yay, one. Anyone who speaks, and we're talking this whole message this morning, we are called to speak. Anyone who speaks should speak words from God or oracles from God or as one bringing God's message. Anyone who serves should serve him in the strength of God, in the strength that God gives, so that in everything God will be praised, glorified through Jesus Christ. Glory and power belong to him forever and ever. Amen. When you speak his word, when you speak his oracles, his message, you are speaking with his prophetic determination. The word of God spoken. And whoever serves God should serve him in the strength of God. It's not your power, it's his power that works through us. Whoever serves, we serve him. We are to be his messengers. Whoever serves, serves in the strength of God. We serve the Lord by speaking his word and letting his power flow and move through those words. It is his power that works through us. We saw in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. You and I, we are to be his messengers. We are to be his force carriers, speaking his word in his power so that his will is done through you and through me, and so that Jesus Christ himself is glorified through you and through me as we operate in that prophetic determination. His word spoken. So, speak his word. You find any word in here, speak it. Speak his word from this word. But there's more. Also learn to speak the word that he speaks directly into your spirit personally. Speak that, because that's also part of prophetic determination. That's part of the word of God spoken. Look at this verse. This is Ezekiel. This is Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to read to you verses 4 and 5. I'm going to read it twice. Second time, I'm going to give you a little bit further explanation. Again, he said to me, so this is Ezekiel speaking about what God spoke to him. Again, he said to me, prophesy to those bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I'm going to read it to you again. Again, he said to me, prophesy. That word prophesy in the Hebrew, here, in this context, when God said prophesy, it means speak by inspiration. We are to speak the word that we have here, but we're also supposed to speak by inspiration, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit speaks to you to speak. Speak by inspiration. It also means this. Make self, this is a direct quote, make self a prophet. Prophesy. Make self a prophet. When the Holy Spirit tells you something, when He speaks something to your spirit, speak it. You make yourself a prophet because it's what He's already done, but His power works through us. Speak the inspiration, but make self a prophet, because when He speaks to you and you speak it, it comes to pass. It makes you a prophet. You've prophesied what He told you He would do, but He does it through you in the word that we speak. Why? Because you and I, we are His messengers. We are His force carriers to this world around us. And we want His power to work through us. So speak the words that the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you to speak. Speak the words that He inspires you to speak. And then, that which is dead around you in this world, that which is dead and is contrary to the promises of this world, of this word, those things are impacted by the words that you speak. And Jesus moves through those words in His power, with life in His power, to bring about His will. But He does it through you and I. So think about the things in your life that are contrary to the Word, that don't line up with the Word of God. Think about those things right now. If the world has given you messages that are contrary to this world, this Word, think about those things. He is speaking to you. You can either take a promise from this, if it's your body and your health, by His stripes I am healed. Speak it, it's His Word. Or if there's something else going on in your life and the Holy Spirit says, speak this, obey and speak it. Make self a prophet. And He will move through those words and bring those things to pass. I wish, really wish that sometimes we were more like James and John. They were so driven to see the power of God work through them. So driven that they said to Jesus, in the wrong spirit, they said, shall we call down fire from heaven? But I love the fact that they were driven to operate in His power. Well, we have the right spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. I wish we were driven like James and John to say to Jesus, should I speak this? Should I speak to this? Can I speak in the authority of Your name to this? How about this? Can I speak in Your authority to these situations? And then soon enough, we'd stop asking. And we would just speak to everything so that everything lines up with His word and His promises. We are His messengers and we are His force carriers to this world around us. Amen. Jesus, we thank You and praise You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for the truth of Your word. Thank You that You've shown us so much by the words that You gave before we started the service, by the words that You spoke through Colleen, and by the word that You gave me. We see the power of Your words. Remind us today, tomorrow, and every day to be Your messengers, to be Your force carriers, so Your power is at work through us, so that You, Jesus, are glorified, that You are glorified in our lives. We thank You and praise You in Your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise as we close this morning.